Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
We are in a series on the God of miracles, and this has just been such a fun series, talking about not just the miracles in the Bible, but the miracles in real life, which was always supposed to be the intention. The Bible is not to be looked at and read and mused at. Wow, neat story. The Bible is to be ingested and then lived out. And so whether the Bible says live righteous, and we're supposed to read the words live righteous and then live righteous, or the Bible says God does miracles, then we're supposed to see God do miracles. It's the same. And so I've been very grateful for this series. It's been a lot of fun for me. So for all selfish reasons, I'm glad we're doing it. The God of Miracles, this is session 14, and I've entitled this one, Encountering God Through Dreams. And so what we're going to do is we're going to talk about dreams today. We're going to talk about what the Bible says about dreams and how the Lord uses dreams. And really my intention in this whole series is to take various aspects that the Word of God says are available to us, various aspects of who God is and how God wants to relate to us, and get us experiencing every aspect of God imaginable. You know, I want to know him as Savior, Father, Friend. I want to know him in all these various aspects. And so we've been looking at all the ways that he does miracles and then sharing stories. And again, I want to just ask for, you know, your grace on this. The dreams I'm going to share, just like in so many of the other sessions, the miracles of whatever capacity, they're ones that I experienced. They're ones that I lived out. They're ones that I saw. And it's just because it's easier for me to tell my own story than it is for me to tell everybody else's. But there's plenty of people in this congregation and our friends and those that we know that have stories that are even cooler than these. So forgive me for using personal references because they're the ones I know the best. I want to give us just a little bit of some ground rules about dreams. I remember being 18 years old, being an atheist and not knowing God, and then coming to know the Lord at 18 and reading the Bible and being like, this is like the greatest book ever. This book is filled with wisdom and crazy stories and a God who seems very near and dear and powerful. And I remember being blown away kind of aspect by aspect, having not grown up in church. I didn't know any better. I just read the Bible and believed it. And I remember reading all these dreams in the Bible, all these times that people in the Bible would have a dream and it would be like God gave them the dream, not the pizza they had for dinner gave them the dream. Like they would actually have a dream and it would be from God. And I'd be like, this is the coolest. I go, when do I get to start doing this stuff? I want to do the dream thing. Like I want to have dreams. And I remember being just so stirred by that. And I want to tell you that today, while we've got extensive teachings, if you're interested ever, on dreams and interpretation of dreams and how that works and how God does it, how we grow in those, that's not actually what we're doing today. Today is more of an advertisement that God gives dreams to people and you want them and go for it. But if you're ever interested in wanting to kind of get a little bit more of the how-to, we've got a lot of that. Today what I want to do is I just want to talk about the purpose of dreams and then share some stories and get us rooted in what the Word of God has to say about dreams. Kind of some ground rules. Dreams from the Lord, they serve a variety of purposes. Sometimes it's to warn us. Sometimes it's to encourage us. Sometimes it's to confirm things that we were already thinking, hoping, feeling. Sometimes the Lord actually tells us the future. In a dream, it's the most bizarre thing in the world to have a dream about tomorrow, next week, a year from now, and then get to tomorrow, next week, or a year from now and actually have it unfold like the dream. That's just bizarre. To warn us, to encourage us, to get us to respond rightly. Some of my favorite dreams are ones where the Lord gave a dream to get you to not do something stupid tomorrow, to not respond the way that you would default respond. The Lord's kind of like giving a gentle correction. He's like, you know, I know you, and when you get in these situations, here's how you normally do it. Let me give you a dream about how you're supposed to do it. The Lord's just so kind. But really, when we're talking about dreams, we're just talking about one of the ways, one of the many ways, that God talks to his people. It's just something that he's rooted in the Word. Now, we've been on this theme these last few weeks talking about various miracles and the ways that God interacts with us. And I just want to remind us that I'm way more interested in an intimate friendship with God than I am the utility of these dreams. When we have a dream and it's helpful, it like gives us instruction or you know, corrects us or whatever, that's good, that's helpful. But I'm way more after the fact that God decided to talk to me. Like that God would be willing to interact with a human being. That's just the most bizarre and powerful and enjoyable thing I can imagine. And again, for all of you, if you gave your life to Jesus, God talked to you at least once because he convinced you you were a lost person and you'd never had that revelation before. You'd been a lost person and the next day a lost person and the next day a lost person. And one day you realize, oh my gosh, I'm a lost person. And you didn't come to that revelation yourself. God drew you. He was actually talking to you. So all of you, if you've given your life to Jesus, you've had God talk to you at least one time because you couldn't have come to the kingdom unless you were responding to the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart, ministering to you. And so actually the very foundation of our relationship with God, the very foundation of our salvation is the fact that God talks to us. So just kind of some food for thought. So, but again, I'm after the fact that God will interact with us, that he'll draw us. No one comes to the Father unless he draws them. I want to be drawn again and again. I want to enjoy that process. But man, as we get into this today, dreams are crazy. They're fun. Sometimes they're cryptic. You know, require a little bit of things to make you say, hmm. You have to meditate a little bit and go, Lord, what are you saying through this? But it's the fact that God gives them. Well, let's jump into the word because I always want our foundation to be in the Bible and for that to help us interpret our experiences instead of for us to be all about experiences, whether they're biblical or not. I think that's dangerous. But for us to have our foundation in the Bible and go, Lord, how do I do B-I-B-L-E? How do I do the Bible and watch that happen? Oh, it's powerful. All right, so let's jump in. So let's begin in Genesis. I just think this is awesome. The first book of the Bible has got so many dreams in it. So you can't crack open the good book and not be exposed to the fact that God uses dreams to talk to his people. But it's not just Genesis, it's all the way through the Bible. But let's just start in Genesis because it's kind of fun to do that. Genesis 20, verse 3. God came to Abimelech in a dream one night. In a dream. God came to this guy in a dream. And he said to him, you're as good as dead, bro. You're as good as dead because of the woman that you've taken. She's a married woman. Can you imagine waking up from that dream and you are like sick to your stomach? You got the fear of God all over you. Now, okay, your friend saw you, you know, your attendant, because this guy was a king. Your attendant saw you go to bed and then saw you the next morning when you woke up because he's got breakfast for you. When you went to bed, you were fine. You wake up and you're like all white and shaking, okay? It's like, what happened to you? I had a dream. Why does that, I had a dream. Who cares? What? No, God came to me in a dream and talked to me. God? Like, God? Yeah. He talked to you while you were asleep? Yeah. In a dream? Yeah. What'd he tell you? That he's going to kill me. Because he said, I made a real big boo-boo. Said, I made a giant mistake and I need to make it right now. Now, that's a warning. That's powerful. Well, that was a situation where it was a guy doing something he shouldn't do. Let's look here. This is Genesis 28, verse 12. Now, this is Jacob that's having this. This is, you know, like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob, you know, renamed Israel, all that. So Jacob is like foundational Christianity kind of guy, all right? He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. What a powerful moment for Jacob. He has a dream. He's asleep, but he's having a real-life encounter with God, and he's actually seeing the way that the angelic realm interacts with the planet. He's actually seeing the way angels, like, minister to God and then come down and do stuff on the planet. What a really weird way to learn theology. Like, you go to sleep, you don't know how angels interact with planet Earth. You wake up, and all of a sudden, you understand. I mean, that's just crazy. But again, foundational. Here we are in Genesis. I'm going to give you Numbers 12. Now, we're just kind of marching along a little bit in the Word. Numbers 12, 6 says this. This is God talking. He says, listen to my words. When there's a prophet among you, I, the Lord, reveal myself to them in visions. I speak to them in dreams. This is God making it really clear that the idea of dreams and visions, it's not a weird idea. It's God's idea. It's his plan. It's his idea. He's the one that invented this concept. What? I mean, it's really kind of a crazy concept, really. You wait for me to go to sleep so you can talk to me because I guess I'm so dull you couldn't get me while I was awake. Like, you had to, like, put me to sleep so you could talk to me because I just wouldn't be able to understand what you were saying if I was awake. And he's like, yeah, this is actually how I do it. This is how I even do it with, like, the prophets, like the high-level guys. I mean, the ones that I'm, like, really anointing, I give them dreams. Like, I give dreams. Dreams come from me. Not every dream, all dreams, all the time. But God definitely invades our nightlife and gets us while we're asleep. I love Matthew 1 and 2. It's when I think about dreams in the Bible, I am most marked by Matthew 1 and 2. I mean, just without a shadow of a doubt, I am most marked by Matthew 1 and 2. And here's why. Within the course of two pages, there's five dreams related to the birth and protection of Jesus Christ. Five dreams in two pages. I mean, to me, that's about as foundational as it gets. Like, let's make sure Jesus makes it into the world and doesn't die as a baby, because you're in your most vulnerable state when you're a baby. And so God's releasing all these dreams. He's doing what he says he does. He says, I release dreams. I give dreams. Dreams, I'm giving them to you. I'm speaking. And he gives five in two pages. That's befuddling. Like, that's so many dreams. So let's just read them real quick. Not the whole dreams, just the fact of them. Matthew 1, verse 20. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. That's Joseph, Mary's husband. 2:12, having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, this is talking about the Magi, they returned to their country another route. So they were warned in a dream. Matthew 2:13. This is just the next verse. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. It's like, man, you just imagine if you're Joseph, you're like, man, I really need God to talk to me. I'll just take a nap. Like, you know, well, how long has it been since God's talked to you? I don't know. I'll just take a nap. We'll get that fixed. No problem. Verse 19, just a little bit later. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. A few verses later, Archelaus was reigning in Judea and in place of his father Herod. Having been warned in a dream, he, it's Joseph again, withdrew to the district of Galilee. I'm like, okay, listen, one thing we got to get. Related to New Testament Christianity, you are talking about the launch of the church here, as in the coming of Jesus, all right? And the launch of the church in its most elementary form was launched with five dreams in two pages. Dreams is part of being a follower of God. Like, we've got access to crazy things that we know not of. I just love that. Look at Joel 2:28. This is a verse that a lot of you guys know, but just think about what's being communicated here. Joel 2:28, talking about when God pours out his spirit. So when God's doing Holy Spirit activity, when he's moving and he's pouring out his spirit, afterwards I'll pour out my spirit on all people. What's that going to look like? Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I'll pour out my spirit in those days. The pouring out of the spirit, the activity of the spirit of God moving in the people of God. When God highlights the fact that he's doing Holy Spirit stuff, dreams are right up all up in the middle of it. Dreams are part of New Testament Christianity. They're part of Old Testament Christianity. So dreams are a part of following God. Now, we can pick and choose what parts of the Bible we want to do and not do, but it's available to us. Like, we can have this. This is a normal Christianity kind of a thing. We want to live the Bible way. I mean, whatever it is. Again, if it says, give away your money, I want to figure out how in the world is that a good idea, because I like my money. But if the Bible says, give away your money, I want to figure out why is that a good idea so I can get on board with the God plan. If the Bible says we ought to have dreams and we can have them and cool, well, cool. Then I want to figure that out too. If the Bible says live righteous, love your neighbor, if the Bible says whatever, we want to figure out what it says and then figure out how to do it, because there's a blessing resting on every aspect of the Word of God. But not just on hearing the ideas. It's embracing it and then going on the journey of of doing it, of seeing how God moves, of what his purposes are, of engaging the Lord in these ways. And so I'm going to tell you some dreams. I'm going to tell you some dreams I've had. I'm going to tell you some just crazy ways that the Lord has spoken and moved. And part of this, part of my hope is actually to provoke you. Like I hope that this morning, after hearing, wow, this is in the Bible, I hope that my journey, you'll look at it, for those of you that this is not so much a part of your life right now, you go, do I even want that to happen to me? Like, that is crazy. Do I even want that? And I think you'll find that you do. But I want to share these stories because when I came to know the Lord and I started reading Bible verses like the ones I just read to you and a bunch others, I mean, guys, that's a 100th of what's in there. I mean, it's 1%. There's a lot in the Word of God about dreams. Reading these verses, I was like, I've never had a dream that I thought God said anything in. I mean, I've had some weird dreams. I don't want to tell you. But I've never had a dream that, like, I thought God was, like, talking or communicating or warning or leading. I was like, when do I get to do that? And I started to pray. I started to go, God, I see it in your Bible, therefore it's got to be safe. I mean, there's nothing out of bounds in this book when it's something God's endorsing. You know, when he's like, I want this, I do this, this is from me. That's safe, that's good, no matter what our theological background is. You know, no matter where we come from, no matter where our comfort zone is. I'm going to just tell you, there's a lot of stuff in this book that I am not comfortable with. Let's go back to that money thing. I am not comfortable giving away my money, but I know it says it. You know, there's times where I'm not comfortable being righteous the way it says, forgive your enemy. I will not. That enemy deserves to be not forgiven, but the Bible says otherwise. So there's a lot of times where our comfort zone is in opposition with what the Bible says. Let's lay down the comforts and let's do Bible, okay? But I remember, Lord, I want you to speak to me. I want you to give me dreams. And I had no idea what I was asking, really, because some of them have been some of those warning, conviction dreams like, hey, I want to deal with this thing in your life. Like, oh, dang it, why did I pray for that? I just gave you one more way to talk to me and tell me what's wrong with me. But a lot of them have been encouraging, have just been powerful moments. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to share these dreams. And again, my main reason, I don't even know what the purpose of some of them are. You'll look at it and you go, wow, if that really happened, that's cool. What's it mean? Oh, I still don't know. Except for the fact that God is a friend and he talks to his friends. And that God is willing to communicate to us, even in dreams. You think about it, it's actually pretty clever of the Lord if he's all about relationship. If the number one commandment really is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you spend like a third of your life asleep, a third of your life you're asleep. What a robbery to God that if he wants to be in friendship, relationship, and talk to us, it's like, ah, dang it, I wrote in a third of their life, I can't talk to them. They're asleep, their head's on a pillow, I can't talk to them. God's like, circumvention, dream life. I mean, it's like, I love that the Lord is so clever and fun. All right, so I'm going to share some dreams, and these aren't really in any order. I just categorize this first group as dreams, walking them out in real time, okay? These are just fun. So there was a period of time where the Lord was giving dreams to the prayer room, which we're connected to the house of prayer down the street. And the Lord was giving these dreams about all these Blockbuster videos in town. For those of you who are like, what's a Blockbuster video? There used to be these things called DVDs. Anyway, there were these video stores. You go in, it was actually like a really cool thing for old people. You go into a video store on a Friday night and you walk around and you pick out a movie. And it was like, you might spend as much time there as you would watching the movie. You're just walking around the Blockbuster, you got all these different movies and just, you're looking at what you want. It was so cool. So there were all these Blockbusters and then Netflix came out and put them out of business. But all the Blockbusters were going down and there used to be like 20 of them in Arlington. I mean, they were all over, okay? And that was kind of the local thing, you know, local movie store or whatever, you go rent a video. All right. So all these Blockbusters are going out of business, kind of one at a time or whatever. And I have a dream one night. I still don't even know. Like, Lord, speak to me about why this is even important. I have a dream one night about a specific Blockbuster video in the city of Arlington, and I know exactly where it is in the dream. Like, I know I'm going there in my dream. I'm, like, walking up or seeing it, and I see the specific Blockbuster video that had closed down or was about to or something. But in real life, I know Arlington. I've lived here quite a while. I know in real life, there's not a Blockbuster video there. Like, I know Arlington a little bit, you know? I know there's not a Blockbuster video there, but in the dream, there is, okay? And so I'm like, I wake up from the dream, and I'm kind of just, I just decide I'm gonna tell Andy the next day. And I'm like, Andy, I had this weird dream. I had another Blockbuster video dream, which is, what's such a weird thing to dream about those things? But I was like, you know, I had this dream, but in the dream, it was one that doesn't really exist. It was over at, you know, this street and this street. And Andy goes, there's totally a Blockbuster video right there. No, there's not. He said, yes, there is. I said, no, there's not. I know that area. There's not one there. There's one over here. He said, bro, look it up. There's one right there. I go and look it up. I'll be darned. There is a Blockbuster video exactly where the Lord said it in the dream. And I shook my head. It's like, what does that mean? I don't know. All I know is God showed it to me in a dream. I don't know. Maybe we'll resurrect Blockbuster video over on Mayfield and Matlock or whatever, okay? But I don't know what that is. I just know I woke up going, I can't believe the Lord showed me a fact in a dream that in the natural, I do not know. Like, I know there's not one there. And yet here I am having this dream, and there's one there. And there really is. What a fun thing. I mean, you're like, why does that even matter? I don't know. I just know it's really cool when God shows you anything. I mean, shows you your sin, shows you what a Bible verse means, shows you where a building is that you didn't know was there. I'll take anything. So there's another dream. This one's just so bizarre. We were doing a remodel for the prayer room when it moved into its first little space. And we had a friend who was part of the ministry at the time. His name's Bernie. And Bernie, in real life at that time, his job was to kind of be the messenger guy. You know, if anything was coming up, related to the remodel project or whatever, you know, let me know. Okay, so I have a dream in the morning. I have a dream where Bernie is calling me. Okay, I'm asleep. Bernie is calling me to tell me that the contractor that's working on the remodel needs to borrow the credit card to go buy supplies. Pretty simple. I have a dream where Bernie calls me and he's telling me that the contractor needs to borrow the credit card so that he can go buy some supplies to do the work. I wake up to my phone ringing and it's Bernie. I pick up the phone. I'm like, hello? Hey. He goes, hey, Brad, it's Bernie. Yeah, okay. Hi, Bernie. Hey, the contractor needs to borrow the credit card to go buy some supplies. Can he come get it from you? The heck is happening right now? I just had a dream, but what? I guess. Sure. Again, what does that mean? I don't know. I have no idea why the Lord would show me. I'm about to get a phone call from Bernie. Couldn't I have just gotten the phone call? Wouldn't that have just gotten the job done? He told me ahead of time. When I say ahead of time, I mean 6 seconds. Ahead of time, in a dream, that's just crazy. To me, though, here's what that communicates. There is nothing God can't tell you in a dream. And there are times where you might actually need the information in a real way. See, because when we look at those Matthew accounts, Joseph was given a dream, and he was given information he needed to act on as soon as he woke up to be able to go and do that, to go do the thing, okay? Well, I don't think the world was going to stop if I didn't give the contractor the credit card. But it did communicate to me, man, there are times where the Lord can, like, give us information that we need to respond to, like, instantly, immediately. Next one. Now, this one's going to just blow your mind, okay? I got a friend, and I was working for just a really good friend of mine over in Flower Mound for a few years. And he was working in real estate, and he was very familiar with Excel spreadsheets. He would use them to catalog all his, you know, all the properties and all the things. And he was working on this one particular deal, and he's a lot smarter than me. He actually knows how to use the Excel equations. You know there are equations in Excel. I don't know how any of that works, okay? I just know it's a bunch of lines and you put in information, okay? But he actually knows how to do the equations and the stuff in Excel. If that's above your head, don't worry, it's above mine too. But he's working on this, and he's trying to figure out this equation. This is just in real life. And he's telling me about it. He's like, man, Brad, I'm trying to figure out this equation. I've worked on it. It needs to be a little bit different from this thing I've done in the past. I just really need to know how to do it. He said, I've been working on this thing for days. It's really bugging me. I can't get it to work right. I know I'm doing something wrong. I just don't know what it is. And so I'm like, okay, well, sorry. I'm no help. Sorry. I'm sorry you hired me because I don't know what the world you're talking about. It was either that night. It was sometime in that time period. He goes to sleep and he has a dream. And in the dream, he's working on the Excel spreadsheet. But in the dream, he does the equation right. And he sees it in the dream. He sees the equation. He wakes up from the dream early the next morning and runs to his office to plug in the whatever was missing, whatever. He did the equation the way that he saw it in the dream, and it worked. And he tells me about it. He goes, Brad, you're not going to believe this. I had a dream about the equation. I was like, that is really weird, man. I go, okay, good. What? He goes, it worked. I said, the dream, you had a dream about an equation, and the equation worked in real life to help you get done the thing you wanted to get done? Yeah. Well, I'm going to remember this one forever. So I'll be telling this story for 20 years. I mean, that is incredible, man. Here's part of what that communicates. What don't you know? He can tell you. He can tell you any way he wants, including while you're asleep. My friend didn't pray, God, give me a dream about an Excel equation. He just went to sleep, and God gave him a dream about an Excel equation. Now, that's really crazy, but it really does open up the realm of what couldn't God tell you? What business transaction couldn't God speak to you about? What situation, interaction, what could the Lord do? There's nothing he couldn't do. Here's a fun one. So in 2013, and I found this dream like yesterday, okay? So this is, because I was getting ready, I knew I'm teaching on dreams and that kind of stuff, so I'm reviewing dreams, and I started writing down all my dreams and everybody else's a long time ago, just in the off case that something might land, and a lot of times they do. And so I've got this dream from 2013, and I'm reading over it, and as I'm reading over it, my jaw drops because I can't believe what I'm reading. The dream was actually about something else, and I can remember, just as a little tip for you, I can remember when I was writing this dream down in 2013. It's a long time ago. I can remember I almost didn't write down these details because they seemed so disconnected from the rest of the dream. I was like, I don't even know what? I'll just write it down, better be safe than sorry. I just kind of go with that thought process. But I almost didn't write it down because it didn't have anything to do with the rest of the dream, okay? But it's how the dream started. The dream started like this. Amy and I are in our living room, and we're waiting for the Coopers to come over, Luke and Cherish. We're waiting for them to come over to our house. And in 2013, just so you know, that time frame, they were, Cherish was pregnant with Zephaniah, and they were about to have a baby boy. We all knew it was a baby boy, okay? And so we're in the dream. Amy and I are waiting for them to come over to the house, and we hear a baby crying at the front door. And we're like, oh, wow, the Coopers must have had their baby and didn't tell us. And they're like coming over to like tell us and show us the baby. This is going to be awesome. Well, what's really crazy about it, we open the door and they come in and there's this baby, but it's a baby girl. We're like, I thought you were having a baby boy. They're like, but this baby, I know this sounds odd, this baby was clearly a girl, but the baby looked like she was 10 to 13 years old, and this baby looked like Cherish. So it's a baby girl that's not a baby. It's like a 10 or 13-year-old, but it's their baby, but it's not a baby, and it looks like Cherish. So Cherish and Luke right now are in the process of permanent custody of Cherish's niece, Layla, that's 10 years old, 10, yeah, and looks like Cherish. And they're in the process of permanent custody with the hope to adopt. And I just saw that yesterday. I was like, oh my gosh, that's like happening right now. That's so crazy. And so I sent it over there to be an encouragement to them, and I was encouraged because I was like, I had that dream 7 years ago or whatever. Why does the Lord do that? I think probably to encourage Cherish and Luke. I think probably at some point down the road to encourage the snot out of Layla. You know, I saw you. I saw you when you were 3, little girl. And I had a plan for your life. And I know you. What a powerful testimony to that little girl. You know? One time Amy and I, this is so crazy, but this is one of the ways that the Lord does things in dreams. Remember, I was telling you earlier about those warning dreams that they happen from time to time? Well, sometimes, you know, you hope as leaders of a ministry, you hope that the Lord will help you like lead well so that it's not you having to lead well, because my goodness, we'd be in a lot of trouble if it was up to me. You hope that the Lord will help you and give you what you need. And there have been many times where we knew as a spiritual community, we were about to go through it, either significant attack or lots of people losing their jobs or different difficulties. And one night, Amy and I both had the same dream. How do you even make that happen? And it's like, I'm dreaming, I in the middle of the night without me knowing, I'm going over and whispering, now you dream it. I mean, that's not how that goes. That's not what happens. You both wake up and you're like, hey, I had a dream. Me too. Well, tell me yours. Oh my gosh. Well, tell me yours. You just told me it. What do you mean? Yeah, that's the dream I had. We both had a dream about spiritual attack coming against the community. And sure enough, 2 weeks later, exactly what we dreamt about started happening in the community. And so we'd already been praying, though, because, I mean, it's pretty obvious. If ever two people have the same dream the same night that are sleeping in the same house, you just go with that as gospel truth. You just go with it, okay? I mean, you just go run with that. So we're praying, oh, Lord, protect us, do this. And the Lord was helping and move. It was astounding to us. We're like, you'll even help us lead. Not just tell us where a Blockbuster is. You'll help us lead. Like, you'll help protect the people that we're leading by giving, you know, both of us a dream the same night about what's coming. That's profound. That's profound. It was a friend of mine one time, and it was somebody in the ministry, and they were struggling bad with something, really an area of pride, and I was praying, and I started praying, Lord, reveal to them the area of pride and that you're really wanting them to respond in this situation in humility. And I was like, I just prayed it. I was praying it for a couple of days. And, you know, by the way, sometimes the right thing is to tell somebody what's wrong with them. Sometimes just pray for them, okay, just so you know. And always pray for them, okay? But it was just a few days later, they called me and they said, hey, I had a dream. And I was like, okay. And in the dream, the Lord was confronting them about their pride and a specific area that the Lord wanted them to deal with in humility. It was the same thing I'd been praying for them about. But it was just a few days later. I was like, Lord, that was a quick one. I like that. Can we do that one all the time? Where it's like we pray and then 3 days later it happens. Like, that's a lot easier than all the labor, you know? I couldn't believe it. I was astounded. I was like, I prayed that the Lord would speak to the person. And they had a dream and they called me to tell me the dream. And they were like, what do you think the dream means? I was like, well, since you brought it up, let me tell you. They were so good. They were like, that's exactly what the Lord was saying in that dream. I was like, this is crazy. This is how kind that the Lord would help us even in discipleship. That the Lord would help us to lead. What a gentle way to lead. My gosh, can you imagine you've got a glaring issue and the Lord shows it to you in a dream in tenderness. It's not a sharp rebuke, it's in tenderness. And you find yourself going, man, that's exactly what I needed. See, if this stuff is real, we want it. We want it at a level 10. Because this is God interacting with his people in the most practical ways, in the most beautiful ways, in the most fun ways, in the silliest ways. I'll share a couple of dreams that were more directional. Those were all just, I don't even know how to qualify all those, just fun little things the Lord did. Here were some directional dreams. One of the most important moments in my, you know, adult life or whatever, was when the Lord brought me into the mission field in Africa, and then when the Lord clearly brought me out of the mission field in Africa. And I want to share how the Lord got me back, because it was profound. It was profound. I'd been serving as a missionary in the nation of Mali, and I started to just sense that the Lord was calling me off the mission field and calling me back here to Arlington. I didn't know it was to start this church in the prayer room. I didn't know all that. I was just kind of mad. I was like, I am out here doing your work in Africa. What in the world could be better than this? Like, what? Why? But I said, Lord, if you want to bring me back to America, sure. Yes, my answer is yes. I'll do whatever you want. This isn't an ultimatum, but it'd be pretty sweet if you do this for me. And I journaled it. And I said, if I'm supposed to come back to America and I've got the timing right, would you give somebody in America a dream about me coming home off the mission field, coming home early. Because everybody thought I was going over there like for life. I thought I was going over there for life. I said, Lord, if I'm supposed to come off the mission field, would you give somebody in America a dream about me coming home from America, from Africa early? But if I've got the timing right, and it's like I'm supposed to be coming home now, would you pretty please make everything in the dream red? And if I've got the timing wrong, I'm still supposed to come back. But maybe it's 6 months down the road, a year down the road. Would you make everything in the dream the color blue? I just wrote it down. I journaled it. That was pretty audacious. But I didn't give God an ultimatum. I wasn't like, and if you don't do this, I won't obey. It wasn't that at all. I just said, it'd be really cool. Like, I would know that I know forever if you did this, because this is pretty, like, specific as it gets. I didn't tell a soul. Of course, I didn't know too many souls, but I didn't tell a soul back here specifically. A week later, I go and I check my email. There was a little internet cafe that had the worst dial-up connection. I've never experienced this nearness to Hades on earth in my life than the dial-up speed of that internet cafe in Mali. but anyway, so I go and I check out my email, and there's an email there from one of the students that was in the youth group back from when I was doing youth ministry here in Arlington. And she said, hey, Brad, I have this dream. She said, sometimes I know people's dreams mean stuff. Mine never do. But anyway, I had this really short dream about you coming home from Africa early. And that's all she said. And I was like, the heck color was it, woman? The heck color was it, you know? Now, I don't want to manipulate the circumstances. I want to be really careful to get this right. But I have to know if there was a color, and I know there was one. I just know it. So I write her back, and I said, hey, I know you don't think you're being used by the Lord. I'm pretty sure you're wrong. Was there any color that stood out in the dream? Just any color that stood out at all? That's all I said. And she wrote back and she said, now that you mention it, yes. She said, it was actually really weird. Everything in the dream was the color red. The walls were red. Your shirt was red. Your face was red. Everything was red. Does that mean something? Only that God listens to man. The heck, you had the exact dream that I asked the Lord for. The exact dream. I just sat there in the internet cafe. I laughed. I cried. I praised. I maybe said some Christian cuss words at the dial-up. I was overwhelmed. I couldn't believe it. God speaks through dreams. He really, really does. It's real. It's really, really real. But it does require us to engage him. If she would have texted me or emailed me that dream, and I hadn't asked for it, that dream would have meant nothing to me. But I asked the Lord for something. You have not because you ask not. This is real. In the area of our dreams, a lot of the reason we're not having them, we're not asking for them. And then when we have them, we don't steward them well. We don't write them down. And then when we do write them down, we don't pray about them. And the Lord gives revelation. He gives us the spirit of wisdom and revelation, Ephesians 1:17, when we engage him. You don't just walk around and you're just life in the spirit and smart. Like, you've got to engage God. I think dreams are all about engaging God. It's God engaging us and then us engaging him back. See, the Lord has purposes in all this stuff. Guys, I got 1,000 more. I'm not even going to finish them. Here's the gist. This is a real thing. And it's available to you. It's available to all of us. Not because you're special or unique or this or that. It's because you're God's, which makes you extremely special. You belong to the living God, and God's the one that came up with this game plan, not you. This isn't like some crazy church down the street came up with this idea, or some crazy leader or some. God's the crazy one that came up with the plan, and he is totally trustworthy. And I'm telling you, real time, this stuff is real, and God does it. It is so incredible to wake up from sleeping, and your first thoughts are, I can't believe I just encountered God while I took a sleep. I wasn't pressing in prayer. I was asleep. I pressed in prayer yesterday and said, oh God, get me while I sleep. But now I'm asleep. And my first thoughts when I wake up is, I can't believe you just did that. It's the most beautiful way to start a day. I mean, before you have any other thought, you're remembering that dream, you're going, I think God might have been speaking to me through that. And you write it down. It's an intentional act of faith. Then you pray about it. Lord, are you in this? Is there anything? What do you lose if you write down a dream that wasn't from the Lord? How bad is your life now? Okay? Like, just write it down. And then ask the Lord, are you speaking through this? Is this anything that you want to draw my attention to? The Lord very much wants to encounter us through dreams. You want this. You want this as part of your life, as part of your history in God. I'm going to give you Galatians 6:25, and then we'll finish up. Galatians 6:25 says this, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. I love this verse. This verse to me, I always imagine it like a waltz with the Holy Spirit. And he's going this way, and we go that way. And if he starts going this way, and I'll tell you what, if he changes to the cha-cha, you better start cha-chaing. We keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Now, I love this verse because it says, since we live by the Spirit. I want to be somebody that lives by the Spirit. I want to know the Bible, but I want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I want to live by the Holy Spirit. I want the Holy Spirit to lead me and instruct me and encourage me and rebuke me and train me. I want the Holy Spirit to teach me. You know, the Holy Spirit is called the counselor. Counselors talk. That's what counselors do. They talk. In fact, if you got any counselor that doesn't talk, you need to fire them. The Holy Spirit is a counselor. He talks. He helps us. He leads us. I want to live by the Spirit, but then check it out. Since that's your desire, let's keep in step with him. We want to hear any way he is willing to speak to us or lead us in order to keep in step with his plans, keep in step with his agenda for our life, keep in step with what we're supposed to be focusing on in the fruit of the Spirit. Keep in step. We want that desperately. Why wouldn't we give the Holy Spirit the opportunity to do that even while we're asleep? When we have dreams, building a history of dreams with the Lord, you wind up benefited in 100 ways. It helps inform your prayer life. You know what to pray about for people. You know what to pray about in your own life. It helps strengthen your faith. All these stories, I promise you, one thing that happened for sure in each one of these stories, I woke up, I was like, God is so stinking real. Like, you are really, 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 really real and awesome, and you like me. And you're willing to talk, and that's crazy and awesome. Dreams can direct us. They can prepare us. I want to pray for an increase of dreams. And so I just want to encourage you, Andy, come on up. I want to encourage you here, just as we're going to, you know, just spend a couple of minutes. I want to encourage you, go, Lord, if any of this is real, I want it. What a safe prayer. Lord, if any of this is real, I want it. And I'm going to pray that the Holy Spirit would increase your dream life. And I'll tell you what, if it's real that we don't have because we don't ask, and then we start asking, we start getting stuff we didn't get before we started asking. So let today be the first day you start asking.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.